ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जायमुदीरये। We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter Number 4, which is the appearance of Sri Narada. This is text number 1. Vyasuvacha
Vyasuvacha
Iti Bruvanam Samstuya
Iti Bruvanam Samstuya
Muninam Dhirgasatrinam
Muninam
Dhakulapati Sutam
Dhakulapati Sutam
Bhavracha Shaunakau Bravi
Bhavracha Shaunakau Bravi
Vyasuvacha
Vyasuvacha
Iti Bruvanam Samstuya
Iti Bruvanam Samstuya
Muninam Dirgasatrinam
Muninam Dirgasatrinam
Dhakulapati Sutam
Dhakulapati Sutam
Bhavracha Shaunakau Bravi
Bhavracha Shaunakau Bravi
Vyasa
Vyasa
Vyasadev
Vyasadev
Uvacha
Uvacha
said
Iti
thus Bruvanam
Bruvanam
speaking
Samstuya
Samstuya
congratulating
Muninam
of the great sages
Dhirga
prolonged
Satrinam
of those engaged in the performance of sacrifice
Vridha
elderly
Kulapati
head of the assembly
Sutam
and Suta Goswami
Bahurache
learned
Shaunaka
of the name Shaunaka
Abravit
addressed
translation on hearing Suta Goswami speak thus Shaunaka Muni who is the elderly learned leader of all the rishis engaged in that prolonged sacrificial ceremony, congratulated Suta Goswami by addressing him as follows. Purport by His Divine Grace. As he heard it from Shukadeva Goswami and also realized it personally. Personal realization does not mean that one should, out of vanity, attempt to show one's own learning by trying to surpass the previous acharyas. He must have full confidence in the previous acharya. And at the same time, he must realize the subject matter so nicely that he can present the matter for the particular circumstances in a suitable manner. The original purpose of the text must be maintained. No obscure meaning should be screwed out of it, yet it should be presented in an interesting manner for the understanding of the audience. This is called realization. The leader of the assembly, Shaunaka, could estimate the value of the speaker, Sri Suta Goswami, simply by his uttering, yathaditam and yathamati. And therefore, he was very glad to congratulate him in ecstasy. No learned man should be willing to hear a person who does not represent the original acharya. So the speaker and the audience were bona fide in this meeting where Bhagavatam was being recited for the second time. That should be the standard of recitation of Bhagavatam so that the real purpose can be served without difficulty. Unless this situation is created, Bhagavatam recitation for extraneous purposes is useless labor
both for the speaker and for the audience.
Vyasavacha iti bruvanam samstuya uninam dirgasatranam vridakula pati sutam papracha shaunaka obravet.
On hearing Sutta Goswami speak thus, Shaunaka Muni, who was the elderly learned leader of all the rishis engaged in that philosophical sacrificial ceremony, congratulated Sutta Goswami by addressing him as follows. So this is an important subtlety of the etiquette amongst the Vaishnavas is being mentioned here, that the most senior of the devotees stood up to congratulate Sutta Goswami. Of course, he's congratulating because one who has followed the process of Krishna consciousness throughout his or her life and has achieved success in the process is to be honored and congratulated, as mentioned by Rupa Goswami in Upadeshamrita, where he says, Krishneti yasa giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti che pranatidishcha bhajantam isham shushushaya bhajana vignam ananyamanya nindari shunya hridamipsita sangalabhya. There he mentions three levels of devotees and how we should interact with them. The first is those who can say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
And Mahaprabhu himself said, if one time I hear someone say Hare Krishna, then I consider that person to be the best out of the whole population. And of course, we hear from the Bhagavatam how valid this is. From Devahuti, when she says, Aho bhata shva pachato garyanya jivagre vartate namatubhyam tepus tapaste juhuhu sasna arya brahmana trunama grananti yete. Anyone who can say Hare Krishna even one time is considered to have already passed the bar exam. If somebody's a high court judge, you know they went to law school. So similarly, if someone says Hare Krishna, you know they've already performed ritual sacrifices, gone to all the holy places, and have performed Vedic rites, they've studied the Vedas, etc. Because this is the culmination. This is the import. So if someone can say Hare Krishna in one's mind, Krishneti yasa giritam manasadriyeta, we show respect from within the mind. And then dikshasti che pranati bhisha bhajantamisha, if someone has accepted diksha, it means that when someone develops faith in the process of devotional service, in the beginning there's faith, adau shada tata sada sangata bhajana kriya, tato narta nivritti tato nishta ruchi stata. The beginning is adau shraddha, means faith. And faith means shraddha shabdi vishwas kahi sudra dana shoy krishni bhakti koila sarva karma krita hoy. One has this abiding understanding that by chanting Hare Krishna, I'm watering the root of my existence. I told that to somebody yesterday, that if you chant Hare Krishna, then all the other parts of your life will be nourished. And he believed me. So he had a little faith. Actually, this is the impetus of the devotee, that sarva karma krita hoy, by chanting Hare Krishna, living the life of a devotee, then everything else is accomplished. So this a faith is a very rare thing. And after one gets faith, adau shada tatasaru sangha, one seeks out a devotee association. And from that association, one becomes inspired for bhajana kriya, or a regulated life in devotional service. Because everything else is simply chaos that ends very poorly. So bhajana kriya is the beginning of very auspicious life. One accepts initiation, and with the vow to chant Hare Krishna. From that, one enters into the purificatory phase of anartha nivritti, and passing anartha nivritti, or the five obstacles that hold one back from steady devotional service, one comes to ruchi. And so this person who's engaged in the process diligently after accepting initiation should be offered physical, bodily
obeisances, either like this, or like that, or like that. And then finally, he says that nindadi shunya hridam ipsita sangalabhya, a person who has been practicing Krishna consciousness, who emerges as self-effulgent, who's become very steady in the practice of Krishna consciousness, and who, he says, becomes devoid of the propensity to criticize others. Nindadi shunya, is purified of envy. That person should be listened to, served, and one should seek such a person's association. So there are gradations of ways in which to associate with devotees mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami. And at the assembly here at Naimasharanya, the most senior of the devotees, Shaunaka, stands up to honor Suta Goswami and to congratulate him for his accomplishment and for bringing the Srimad Bhagavatam to broadcast it to all the sages. And this is an etiquette, or I should say, etiquette is something that Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were keen about and displayed themselves. Krishna, when he would meet various personalities, would interact with them accordingly. For instance, when he meet the Pandavas, he would offer obeisances to the elders, he would embrace those who were his peers, and he would allow those who were junior to him, of course, who's not junior to Krishna, but he was showing this by his example, to offer their obeisances to him, and he would give them blessings. This knowing of how to interact is an upstart. Can somebody look up the word, please? You better be quick, though, because Dakshina will get on my case. Got it? Upstart means, please pass the mic. Acharya. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's the one who liberated Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But he would say, as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, it's Ramananda Roy, he'd give credit to everybody else. In an assembly of devotees, when a very learned scholar came and was telling Mahaprabhu and his devotees that I have written a new commentary on the Bhagavatam, and it's better than Sridhar Swami's, because Sridhar Swami simply takes from the context, and I've written a more realized commentary. And so Sridhar Swami is called Sridhar Swami, and Mahaprabhu said that anyone who doesn't accept the Swami, which means master, is a prostitute. And he didn't want to hear any kind of extra commentary that would supersede Sridhar Swami, who is a great acharya of antiquity. And that's one of the other ways in which Mahaprabhu showed how one follows in the footsteps of the great souls,
which is one of the main processes mentioned in the Bhagavatam for crossing over the ocean of material existence. Twayam bujaksha kila sattvadani samadhi na vishita chetasayake twatpada potena mahakritena kurvanti govatsapadam bhavabdhim. The demigods praying to Lord Krishna within the womb say that one should fix one's mind on Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he's the source of everything. And then he says the way that that could be done. And he says one should follow in the footsteps of the great acharyas. Mahat kritena, actually it means two things. One means the great souls, and also means the process that they leave behind. Because great devotees, they develop a process through which they can go back to Godhead, and they leave it behind so that everybody else can take advantage of it. And these great acharyas, as I mentioned before, are self-effulgent, and their process becomes available for all. And if one takes the process from these acharyas, then the material ocean shrinks to the size of the water contained within the hoofprint of a calf. One can easily step over it. And it's not that one even has to enter the process. If one's intention is to enter the process, at that time the ocean shrinks. That's how powerful the process is left behind by the great acharyas. And this is one of the main messages in this verse, is to not supersede the, try to supersede the previous acharyas when speaking about Krishna consciousness, to be very aware of the context one's in and humble in the assembly of devotees. Pradyumna Prabhu, one of Prabhupada's senior devotees, he was the Sanskrit editor for Prabhupada for many years, tells how once he was sitting in front of Prabhupada, and he was also slightly in front of one of his senior godbrothers. And Prabhupada pointed it out. He said, "You're sitting in front of your da, your senior." And then Pradyumna scooted back a foot. And so he wasn't in front or further ahead of his senior godbrother. And so this kind of sensitivity to honoring of the various devotees and honoring the acharyas, honoring Krishna, honoring the shastra, and being humble allows that message to descend into one's life. Now when representing, which is something Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks us to do, and Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, this is very, the person who does this, who speaks on Bhagavad Gita, who speaks on the Srimad Bhagavatam, is very dear to him. So what is the way to do that? Here Prabhupada says, you must be realized. So what's the evidence of realization? He says, don't try to supersede the previous acharya and come up with some new idea. You follow what's been already presented, but you have to do it in such a way that's interesting. And that means that it's within the frame of reference of your present audience. A person has to understand that people hear things in different ways, and you have to present it in such a way that they can hear and appreciate it. And if one does this, this is called realization. And this is the essence of preaching Krishna consciousness and pleasing Krishna through preaching Krishna consciousness. And it's always in a state of adjustment. Because we find even in the Bhagavatam that sometimes people ask this question about a modern preaching versus traditional preaching. Have you ever heard that? Three or four of you? Then how do you balance the two out? So we find actually in the fifth chapter of this Bhagavatam that Vyasadeva is in a conundrum because he's morose after having written Mahabharata, after having written various Puranas, and now he doesn't feel like he did his service correctly. So his guru, Narada Muni, comes and says, actually, you didn't speak directly enough.
about Krishna's pastimes. We're talking about Vyasadeva. So if it can happen to Vyasadeva, it can happen to anybody. At the same time, someone can simply come in and speak so directly that it's over the head of the audience. Prabhupada adjusted various words. For instance, in the second count of the Bhagavatam, Anumapakai, that famous purport in which he tells the process for introspection, how you can see how you're not your body and how there's the Supreme Personality of God to listen, sitting next to you in your body. He calls the Paramatma the super spirit. He used various words to help people from the culture that he was speaking to understand things. He also adjusted various names and brands, like Easy Journey to Other Planets. That's been a perennial favorite because people were thinking about taking Sputniks and rocket ships to the moon, so Prabhupada wrote Easy Journey to Other Planets. And he called, at the time of the hippies, he called the Sunday Love Feast. So he wasn't dry at all. He adjusted everything, but presented according to what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had taught him and what the previous acharyas had said, but he presented it in an interesting way so that people could understand. In one lecture, when Prabhupada was talking about the ways in which one should do one's duty for Krishna, although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can do everything, the devotee does his service. And Prabhupada said, after Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, he didn't tell Arjuna, now you sit down in the chariot and smoke ganja, and I'll do the fighting. No, he said, you fight. Now you understand, as my fight as my instrument. So Prabhupada was funny. He brought out various anecdotes that were interesting, funny, and related to the audience. But at the same time, he maintained that chastity to the previous acharyas and to his guru. So that's called realization. And in adjusting the message, have you ever been in one of those showers that has two knobs, hot and cold? And like you're constantly trying to get it right where it's not too hot, not too cold. So the message also, one of my godbrothers was saying, is like that. Hands on both sides, adjusting it. And this is the preoccupation of the modern preachers, trying to adjust the message so that others can appreciate and understand it. So those are a few remarks about the purport and the verse. And now we'll take some reflections or questions to deepen or widen or illuminate, augment the conversation. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for the class. I have a question to a related point. We all often hear and read that we should not imitate previous acharyas, but we should follow in their footsteps. So, Prabhu, if you can elaborate to help me understand the difference.
Okay. I'll read a section from the Sri Upadeshamrita in which Prabhupada gives an idea about this. And he writes, the Krishna conscious movement prescribes 16 rounds daily because people in the Western countries cannot concentrate for long periods of time while chanting on beads. Therefore, the minimum number of rounds is prescribed. However, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that unless one chants at least 64 rounds of japa, 100,000 names, he is considered fallen, patita. According to his calculation, practically every one of us is fallen. But because we are trying to serve the Supreme Lord with all seriousness and without duplicity, we can expect the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is famous as Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the fallen. So here is an example of the ways in which we've been guided to follow in the footsteps of the acharyas. We've been prescribed the process of chanting Hare Krishna.
But Prabhupada noticed that in the West, people couldn't chant 64 rounds every day. So therefore he adjusted it to 16 rounds and then told everyone to engage in a lot of service at the same time. So the activity is the same, but it's adjusted so that one can accommodate it. The principle's the same, but the detail's different. Prabhupada mentions this also in the case of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was 5 years old. He went to the forest. He then went on a fasting program that got more and more severe every month. He was only eating some of these little monkey fruits, and then after a while he was only eating leaves. Yum, yum. And then he was only taking air, and he did something that nobody else could do. At least nobody, well, I'll speak for myself. It's not something I could do, eat monkey fruits for a month. And what to speak of leaves and air. So Prabhupada mentions there that we should take the spirit of Dhruva Maharaj, his enthusiasm for devotional service, to make progress. But we have to do it according to scale. It's a matter of calibration. You have to see, can I follow the same spirit according to what I can do? There's evidence for this, the efficacy of this idea in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, when Krishna tells Uddhava, sve sve yadi kariyanishta saguna parikirtita viparya tu dosha syad ubaryor eshanishtayaha. It's a fixed principle that you should act according to your adhikari. Whatever you can do now, sve sve, your adhikari, your qualification, that means everybody has a capacity of what they can do. So you should do that to the best of your ability. And that's called a guna. Guna sometimes refers to the modes of material nature, but also refers to a good quality. And then he says, viparyaya, the opposite to dosha sad, a fault means that you try to do more than you're qualified for. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur then says in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita that if you do less than you're qualified for, that's also a fault. And then he compares it to climbing a ladder. He said the ladder of devotional service must be ascended one rung at a time. When you have a foot on the rung and you notice that it's solid, then you should move to the next one. He said if you try to run up the ladder really fast, you might slip and fall. He said, but if you move too slowly, your progress will be distant. So you have to keep moving. So I mentioned this in way of calibration. All the principles are the same. We're following Dhruva Maharaj. We're following the acharyas and what they've done. But we do it according to our capacity, with the same enthusiasm and intention, and we follow the principle. Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you very much, Prabhu. On the same line, the question you mentioned in the lecture that even if somebody is not following the previous acharyas, like not able to follow, but if he just has a tendency or inclination, still the material portion becomes like the water in the cup. So.
Well, it's not exactly that he's not following. I mean, yeah, that could be. Could I have a Bhagavad Gita, please? If you can't get a Bhagavad Gita in a Hare Krishna temple, then you know you're going downhill fast. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the text number 331, Ye me matam idam nityam anutishtanti manava, Krishna says that my instruction is always true. That's good to know, first of all. Whatever Krishna says is eternally true without exception. I've caused a kerfuffle. Thank you, Prabhu.
We sold all of the books.
That's there you go. There you go. That's good. Yeah, good save. Okay. Those persons who execute my duties according to my injunctions and who follow this teaching faithfully without envy become free from the bondage of fruitive actions. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Thank you. The The injunction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the essence of all Vedic wisdom and therefore is eternally true without exception. What is it?
Eternally true without exception.
Correct. And the Vedas are eternal, so this truth of Krishna consciousness is also eternal. One should have firm faith in this injunction without envying the Lord. There are many philosophers who write comments on the Bhagavad Gita but have no faith in Krishna. They will never be liberated from the bondage of fruit of action. But an ordinary man with firm faith in the eternal injunctions of the Lord, even though unable to execute such orders, becomes liberated from the bondage of the law of karma. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord. But because one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, he will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. Thank you. So there is a way in which I may have full faith in the injunctions of the Lord, but I'm not able to fully execute all of them at this point. Such a person is mentioned by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadureva samantavya samyang vyavasito hisaha. That is that even if one is affected by worldliness, if that person has faith in Krishna's promise in the Bhagavad Gita that if you surrender it to me, I'll deliver you from all sinful reactions. And that's that person's intention is to follow it, but hasn't become accomplished enough in controlling the senses in order to actually do it fully. But the faith is there. Such a person is rightly situated and will soon come to the perfection of devotional service. And Krishna mentions this interim stage elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, where he says, Jata shada makatasu nirvina sarvakarmasu veda dukat makankamam prityage pyanishvara tatoba jetamam prita shara lo drudanishchaya jushamanams tatankamams dukodarkams tagarayan. He gives the description of a person whose faith has awakened in hearing Krishna Katha. This person understands that just by hearing Krishna Katha will come to the perfectional stage of life. Nirvina sarva karmasu, the person is averse to sense activities in the material world because he knows Veda, dukkat makam kamams, it all leads to misery. However, prityagi pyanishvara, he still doesn't have the power yet to fully engage in controlling the senses, performing devotional service. So Krishna says, such a person should go on with the practice, knowing that by continuing, he'll come to the perfect stage, and he shouldn't become overly morose. That means become pathological in his moroseness and then give up the process. He can be garayan, or a little bit embarrassed that he hasn't been able to take to the process, but not so much that he quits. And then one will come to the perfect stage. Other questions or comments? Okay, over here on the side, we have a plethora.
I took away these following points. Which I really elaborated to myself. Don't be arrogant. Don't try to surpass your superiors, one of my superiors. Don't speak out of line. Follow in line with the disciplic succession, but in such a way that is interesting to our audience.
Thank you. You know, that reminded me of a pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannanda Pandit. Jagannanda was staying with Mahaprabhu, and Sanatan Goswami came to join Mahaprabhu. He had become a little diseased because of drinking bad water in the jungle on his way there. So he had these sores on his body that would ooze. And when Mahaprabhu would see Sanatan Goswami, he had so much affection for him that he would always embrace him. And Sanatan Goswami was horrified by this because the oozing sores on his body were putting some discharge on the transcendental body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he would try to avoid Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu would forcibly embrace him. So Sanatan Goswami had this idea that when the Ratha Yatra starts, in the presence of Mahaprabhu, I'll jump in front of the wheel and commit suicide. And this was his idea for attaining perfection, because he thought to himself that I'm of no use. I can't perform service. If the Bhujaris touch me, they won't be able to go in the temple. I'm offending Mahaprabhu because of the horrible nature of my body. And I came here for spiritual upliftment, but it's simply become reversed. And then one day when Sanatana Goswami was associating with Haridas Thakur at his hut, Mahaprabhu showed up there. He used to do that every day, to come see Haridas. And then he mentioned extemporaneously to Sanatana Goswami, said, I don't approve of this committing suicide. And Sanatana Goswami was startled because of the omniscience of Mahaprabhu. No one else knew this idea. And then Mahaprabhu said, if I could attain perfection by committing suicide, I would have done it millions of times already. Sanatana Goswami had mentioned to Jagannanda that Mahaprabhu won't let me commit suicide, and I'm also useless, and it's been my intention to go to Vrindavan. So Jagannanda said, yeah, you should go to Vrindavan. And so when Sanatana Goswami mentioned this to Mahaprabhu, he said, why do you want to go to Vrindavan? He said, Jagannanda told me. And Mahaprabhu became angry. He said, who is this Jagannanda? He is just a young boy. Who's he to speak to you? He said, Sanatana, you're on the level of my spiritual master. What to speak of Jagannanda? So how dare he give you any instruction? He chastised Jagannanda severely for that. Of course, at that time, Sanatana Goswami then became a little morose, and he said to Mahaprabhu, this obviously shows you have more affection for Jagannanda, because you feel free to chastise him, but you honor me, you don't chastise me. And Mahaprabhu said, no, it's not like that. But we find this within the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he was very sensitive about who spoke to whom about what. Thank you, Prabhu. Yes? Oh, yeah, repeat the questions. Okay, thank you for reminding us. Go ahead. I have to repeat what you say because the devotees online can't hear because of the ambient diffusion or whatever it is.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Prabhu, I think you mentioned the first point in the translation, confidence in acharyas.
So first point, he's recalling I mentioned something about confidence in the acharyas.
Yes, Prabhu. And then in this situation, I think I heard a class where Prabhu was explaining about how guru can be a guru, but he cannot be an acharya.
Then he heard a class where a guru can be a guru, but he can't be an acharya.
Guru may be different from acharya.
Guru may be different from acharya.
So what does a person do if he really wants a spiritual enlightenment? Does he go to India?
What should a person do if he wants spiritual enlightenment? Go to India?
To find the perfect acharya?
To find the perfect acharya? Thank you for your question. So we find that a lot of Indians come to America and then find a perfect acharya. No, I mean, it's really true. You may be living next door to a temple or whatever in India, but you're so busy because you've got so many cousins. And you come to America. And then suddenly, you know, someone comes up and says, hey, Hare Krishna. Remember Krishna? And then you come to the temple and take to Krishna consciousness. Well, really, it's a matter of discrimination. These are not absolutely technical terms, guru and acharya. They can be used in that way, but they're general terms. Guru, as Prabhupada, I was listening this morning, getting ready for Mangalarti. Prabhupada was just saying this morning, he quoted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jare Dako Thai Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amarag Nai Guru Hanatara Idesh Hayatara Idesh. He said Mahaprabhu gave this order to everybody. He said, become a guru and preach Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada then said, so what does it mean to become guru? It's not a very difficult thing. It means you repeat what you hear from the guru. Don't concoct anything. It's very much in line with what was said today. And Prabhupada would frequently give the example that a child doesn't know what a microphone is, but if the father, who does, tells the child, this is a microphone, and then the child says, this is a microphone, then the child got it right. Okay. See, dogma's not always wrong. Dogma's not always wrong. People sometimes take it in a pejorative sense, oh, that's just dogma. But everyone follows dogma to one degree or another because we can't go back and do all the research ourselves. But to your question, a guru and acharya actually means the same thing. Acharya means someone has good achar, means good behavior. It teaches by example. If somebody's teaching by example, then acharya. Of course, you could then be in another context, you could say acharya with a capital A. Means there are self-effulgent acharyas that are named in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Mahajanas are listed in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And these are acharyas. These are the acharyas. They're not a acharya, they're the acharyas. They're specifically mentioned because they, through the empowerment of Krishna, showed such an important lesson from their lives that everyone else will follow that from now on. And someone may say that, well then I want to be one of those Mahajans. Well, you can follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans, but I mean, Dhruva Maharaj, as I mentioned before, is a special case. And it happened. It actually happened that he was a young boy. He went to the forest. He did everything he did. And then he met Krishna. And then he became the recipient of his own Vaikuntha planet in the material world. I mean, did you do that? And so, you know, it requires a modicum of humility to understand that there are greater personalities than myself. Oftentimes people don't like that. I was in Santa Cruz and I was showing someone a Bhagavad Gita and he said, I don't want the commentaries. I said, these are from the previous acharyas, and I don't want the previous acharyas because I am the acharya. That they don't want the, people don't like the idea. And Prabhupada mentioned it in 331 that I just cited. People oftentimes, they have some scholarly expertise. So then they use that to present their own version of Bhagavad Gita without the process of humility, of taking a spiritual master, following the footsteps of the acharyas in a simple way, and therefore they get it wrong. This is one of the demoniac tendencies in the material world. This is mentioned by Krishna in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in which he says, Namam duskritinamura prapadyanhe naradama maya aprita jnana asuram bhavam ashrita. He names four kinds of people with a bad attitude, to say the least. And one of them is maya aprita jnana, which means someone that they have some brain power, but because they're envious of Krishna and they don't follow in the footsteps of Krishna, then they're out of alignment with the teachings, and they get it wrong and they mislead a lot of people. Just to answer your question, however, No, you don't have to go to a special country to find a guru. What you have to do is develop an intense desire to know the truth. Because Krishna is the guru. He's the Adi Guru. This is mentioned in the 8th canto of the Bhagavatam. There is no other guru except Krishna. If somebody represents Krishna, that person also becomes guru because they're representing Krishna. And the minute they stop representing Krishna accurately, they're no longer a guru. So guru is somebody who follows Krishna, period. That's it. So a guru is somebody who speaks Bhagavad Gita the way Krishna meant it and the way he said it. And if you do that, you're a guru. And if you want to find a guru, you have to have an intense desire to know Krishna. And you can be in the middle of Antarctica. And if you develop an intense desire to know Krishna, then Krishna will arrange for a guru to show up on a bobsled with with those barking dogs. And it will practically run into you, even though you're the only two people in Antarctica at the time. And this actually happened with Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was just a little boy, and he left the palace with the intention of going to find God in the forest. And now he meets Narada Muni suddenly. The text says that the reason they met was because Narada Muni overheard the conversation with Dhruva and his mother. And Prabhupada said, how's that possible? He wasn't even there. And then he recounts how the super soul's within everyone's heart. And when he notices that somebody is absolutely sincere and resolute about moving forward in spiritual life, even if they have no idea what that means, then Krishna hears that and he arranges for such a person to meet a guru. And there's three kinds of gurus mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's the Vartmana Pradakshaka Guru. That means the one who first shows you the path. My Vartmana Pradakshaka Guru was one of my friends from high school, Richie Corsa. He brought me my Back to Guided magazine. He didn't even like it. He told me he got ripped off by the Hare Krishnas. And he said, I don't like this stuff, but I know you do, so you take it. And that was what started me in my, path on devotional service because of Richie Corsa. He's my Vartmana Pradakshaka Guru. Bilva Mangal Thakur's Vartmana Pradakshaka Guru was his girlfriend. He was going to visit his girlfriend regularly, and one night it was a stormy night, and she couldn't believe he actually made it because there was a typhoon going on outside. And she said, if you had this much enthusiasm for devotional service, instead of for this body, which is just a bunch of material elements, then you'd actually have something. You'd make something out of your life. And he thought, yeah, I should surrender to Krishna. And therefore, even later in life, when he's a great acharya, he writes his respects to Chintamani, his ex-girlfriend, who showed him the path of devotional service. That's guru. And then there's the Shiksha Guru. The Shiksha Guru is mentioned in the plural because you can have many Shiksha Gurus who instruct you on the path of devotional service. And then there's the Diksha Guru, the one who gives you the mantra. And you have to accept the mantra out of humility from a Vaishnav. If you don't, it's offensive. So if you take the mantra, it's a seed, and then the Shiksha, whether it comes from your Diksha Guru or from other Shiksha Gurus, is what waters the seed. And what's more important, the seed or the water? This will be on your SATs. Both, they're equally important. And so are the Shiksha, Diksha Gurus. And all of them, says Kaviraj Goswami, are equal manifestations of Krishna. They're Krishna's manifestations. He sends various personalities to us when we're sincere about devotional service, and that is the only qualification to take devotional service, is sincerity. There is no other qualification. There's no geographical limitation. You can be anywhere. If you're sincere, Krishna will find you. In fact, he doesn't have to find you. He's looking at you right now because he's in your heart. And Gajendra says this in his prayers. He says, Krishna, you're in my heart. You're never lazy about my deliverance. It's me that's lazy. And then he says, It's not that you only become interested when I offer prayers. You're always interested in delivering me. It's that when I offer prayers, now I'm interested. And that's why there's combustion at that point and something actually happens. Now look at Gajendra. He didn't remember about God when he was an elephant. He had been a king in his previous life. He mixed it up with some sage, and the sage cursed him, become a dumb elephant. So now he becomes an elephant. He forgets all about everything, and he's just hanging out and doing elephant stuff all day long. And he goes there, and he's playing around with his family, and he's thinking, like, you know, life's pretty good. I'm an elephant. And the next thing, he's got a crocodile on his leg, and he's getting dragged down. And you know that feeling? Like, you know, you're leaning back in your chair, and you're thinking, I'm the king of the world, and all of a sudden the chair tips back, and you're about to break your head. That's how Gajendra felt suddenly, that, oh my God, you know, this is it. And so he didn't remember God, he didn't remember theology, he didn't remember anything, but he did remember the shlokas he memorized in his last life. And they came to him by the grace of the Supreme in his heart. And at first he was praying to something nondescript, amorphous, just calling out, I need help, please help me God. And he wasn't even sure. And then the verses started coming out because he remembered him from his past life, because Krishna always gives you the benefit of the doubt. And if you remember, if you do any devotional service, it gets carried over. If you mess up in this life, he carries it over to the next life, and you continue on from there. So getting a guru doesn't require anything except sincerity, and advancing in devotional service has only one price, and that's your desire to get it. Krishna bhakti ras bhavito mati kriyatam yadi kruto prilabhyate tatalolya meka mulya me. I'm sorry. We'll start over. Krishna bhakti ras bhavito mati kriyatam yadi kritam vilabhyate tata mulyam tata lolyam. Just not happening. It's an easy verse and I always remember it, but it's not happening right now. It'll come back. So in this verse, Rupa Goswami says the only price for attaining devotional services is what's called lolyam, which means intense greed to have it. It's like you wanted, you desire, you could have no other qualification, but if you have a desire to have it, I want to advance the devotional service, then you can get it. And he says, if it's available somewhere, you should run to get it as soon as possible. Don't hesitate even 1 second. As some, I think it was Dakshin said this morning, he said, he who hesitates is lost. Was that you? Krishna bhakti ras bhavita mati kriyatam yadi yadi kuto pilabhyate tatra loyam api mulyam ekalam janmakoti sukriterna labhyate. The last line, thank you, Prabhu. Last line says, you can't get it any other way. Even if you're really pious or rich or do all kinds of great humanitarian work, you still won't get bhakti. Okay, last question.
Is that
the verse? Madhya 870. Okay. So we did the best we could. We came here all together to recreate a little Naimisharanya. And now today's Ekadashi, or the day after Ekadashi, where we're fasting for Ekadashi yesterday, or something, right? Today's Mahadwadashi, rejoice. And so fasting till death, and then we have all kinds of programs all day long, and a great opportunity to make advancement all together here with all full facility. So thanks everybody for joining the Japa Circle this morning too. That was extraordinary. Yes?
It's also Rupa Goswami's Disappearance Day and Gauridas Pandit's
Disappearance. Oh my goodness. It's Rupa Goswami's Disappearance Day and Gauridas Pandit's Disappearance Day too. Anyway, we'd say more about that, but we got the hook. So thank you very much. Gaur Premanande. Nittai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nittai Gaura Haribo, Nittai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nittai Gaura Haribo. No, no, you have to stop immediately at the end. It has a special effect. We'll do it one more time. Gaura Premanande, immediately stop. No carrying over. Gaura Premanande, Nittai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nittai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nittai Gaura Haribo.
Marman, Natchari Ar Marman, Natchari Ar Marman, hey, Natchari Ar Marman, Natchari Ar Marman, Natchari Ar Marman, Natchari Ar Marman.